Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Marcus. I'm one of the pastors here at St. George North Anglican Church, and it's great to be here with you this morning. So great to see all of your faces. Just a bit about me. You probably can't tell, but every week on my day off, one of the things I like to do is go to the gym. And the reason you probably can't tell is because the only day I regularly go to the gym is my one day off. And you also probably can't tell because I really love KFC. And those two things just don't work together. But every week, I go to the gym and, you know, I do all my exercises. I wander around, I do my squats, I do my bench press, I do my lat pull downs. I feel like I'm part of, the village people doing the YMCA, just all these different movements around the place. And at the end, I sit there exhausted. And I look over and I see them. The guys, these absolutely jacked dudes just hanging out together. And I want to be a part because there they are. I don't know what's going on there, but anyway, they're there and they're high-fiving one another. They're drinking protein. They're talking about weights and stuff. I don't know what they're talking about. I want to know. I want to know what they're talking about. I want to be a part. I want to be included in what's going on. It's like I'm singing that song from The Little Mermaid. I want to be where the people are. I want to see them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. And I'm going to skip a bit, but feel free to join in if you know the words. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free, wish I could be. Everyone, part of that world. Oh, you're great singers. Well done. Thanks, Quinton. I'm starting to think that maybe the reason that I'm not included in the gym bros is because I'm walking around the gym singing The Little Mermaid. But we all feel like that at times, right? We all have that feeling that we want to be included, don't we? We crave to be a part of something. And so we do all these things to try and make it happen. We change the way we walk, the way we talk, the things we talk about, the way we dress. We might even take out a second mortgage to live in an area so we can be a part of that world. But you've got to do all this stuff, and then maybe if you do enough of those things and then get noticed, then maybe you'll get included. Or maybe it's the flip side. Maybe you're already included, but you're anxious. We worry that people will find out about our past and we hide the things that we've done so that our friends and our family don't cancel us. And then we get imposter syndrome. We think we don't belong, but we pretend we do, hoping that no one will notice. Maybe that's even how you feel right now as you're sitting in church. I know there's been times where I felt like that. And my guess is this is something we've all felt at some point in time. And if we don't feel it now, the risk of being excluded is always lingering. It's so fragile. But what I want to say to you today, in fact, what Jesus shows us in this story today, is that the inclusion that we're looking for is waiting. And it's not with the guys at Anytime Fitness Kogra. No, it's an inclusion into the relationship that you and I were made for. Because the reason we feel it and the reason it's so fragile is that so often the things that we look for inclusion in and the ways that we look for them are in the wrong place. And so how do we get it? How can God give us the inclusion that we're all looking for? Well, we need to come back to this story that we've got in our outline, Luke 15. Grab it there in front of you. And the first thing we'll see is that Jesus will welcome anyone. Just take a look at the beginning. Verse 1. All the tax collectors and sinners, now that's society's worst people, they were all approaching Jesus to listen to him. But the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now we've got to remember who the scribes and the Pharisees are at this time, because they are the guys. They're basically the social media influencers of their day. If there was an ancient version of Facebook and Instagram, you can almost guarantee that each of them would be posting my five top tips on how to be loved and included by God. Because they were meant to be the experts on how to get God to include you in his people. But Jesus, who claims to be from God, is not only welcoming sinners and tax collectors, but he's sitting down with them for the family dinner, which is crazy. Because let's just think about tax collectors for a moment. I assume that most of us, over the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, are going to be scanning our emails, looking through our receipts, trying to drive our taxable income down. Because no one really wants to pay more tax than they have to, and that's been the case for at least the last 2,000 years. That's how people felt back then. But imagine if your government, if our government had been overtaken by an enemy country. And not only was that country still charging taxes, not only were they oppressing you, but they were still charging taxes. And the tax man from that country is not from over there. No, he's the cousin, he's the neighbor, he's the friend, he's the brother that you grew up with. And on top of betraying you, he's charging extra tax to keep for himself. Tax collectors were betrayers and thieves. And then you have the sinners. The sinners. They had caused the downfall of their society, and most people blamed them as the reason for this other country coming in to oppress you. They were derelicts. They were deceivers. And so no wonder the Pharisees are mad, because these people were the worst thing about society. These people were everything wrong with their country. And while we might want to judge them, what Jesus says is that before God, all of us, you and me included, all of us, are like tax collectors and sinners. And that hurts to hear sometimes, doesn't it? No one likes being told they're a sinner. But in reality, all of humanity has done the same thing. We've all rejected God and tried to rule our own lives, to go our own way. And it's worth me saying that what this looks like is different for each of us. I haven't, you know, joined an enemy country and started collecting tax for them. But there are things that I've done that I'm ashamed of. Things that make me cringe when I lie in bed at night about the way that I've treated people. Things I've said that I wish I could take back. Because we live with regrets, don't we? Regrets about the way we've treated other people, how we've spent our time, and then we tell lies to try and cover it up, to ignore it ourselves or to make sure that other people don't know. And all these things are signs, are symptoms that at our core, we are the same as the people coming to Jesus in this story. We're people who have turned against God and have tried to live by our own rules, who have tried to go our own way. See, we are lost sinners. And because of this, we've begun to receive what we deserve, exclusion from God. And one day, we'll be eternally cut off from anything good. And not just us sitting in this room here today, it's every human being across the globe. Which means it's our children too. Because have you ever noticed that even if you give your children the best life possible, they'll still do the wrong thing? Even if you follow all the advice, all the magazines, all the books, all the posts online, your kid will still have a meltdown in the middle of Hurstville, Westfield because you won't let them use the claw machine. Maybe that's just my kid. But what Jesus says is that all of us are like this, from the cradle to the grave. Because at the core of it, we've all rejected God, and that's how we've ended up here, lost. Jesus says we are lost. We wander around the world trying to guide ourselves, but we have no idea where we are, no idea where we're going, and we keep messing up, breaking God's laws because we are lost. And if we keep going in this direction, we won't just be lost, we'll be excluded from all the goodness of the perfect world that God has planned for his people. And so how can we get back? How can we join God's in crowd? How can we be a part of that world? What do we have to do? We'll take a look at that bit that we just read before, again in your outlines, verses 1 and 2. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. So just notice, Jesus let them come and spend time with him, but then keep looking. And the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining, "This man does what? He welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus welcomes sinners. Jesus, God in flesh, welcomes sinners. And it's not that they get their lives cleaned up. It doesn't say that here that Jesus welcomes those who finally got their act together. No, Jesus welcomes sinners, which means he welcomes us too. His invitation to eternal inclusion is open to you. And it's open to your children too. And so if you or your kids come to Jesus, he will never turn you away. That's his promise. Because he's willing to welcome anyone in. And so he will welcome you and your kids just as you are. I remember when my eldest son, Angus, he was about 2 years old, and we were in the park with some friends, and those friends had kids who were much older than Angus, well, not much older, like almost about to reach school. And they were playing this game. You know how kids are like, you've seen them out there. They just run around and that's a game. I don't know how it works. But anyway, they're having a good time. They were running around laughing, and I could see Angus, and he just so desperately wanted to join in. And he was little, but he was good on his feet. He had some good pace to him. And so he tried to join in. He started running behind them and he caught up and he was laughing and he was having a great time. And my heart was so warm watching his little legs just pump, you know, the top half of his body moving more than the bottom half. You know what kids are like. But then they stopped. And one of the big kids walked up to him, pushed him to the ground and said, "You can't play with us. I don't like you." And Angus sat in the wet grass and he cried. And I wanted to cry too. I think I was more emotional than he was. And so often, this is how our society wants to treat people. You don't fit our standard, and so you can't be included. It's just like what the Pharisees were saying 2,000 years ago. But Jesus is never like that. If you want to join in on what Jesus is doing, he will not turn you away. He'll invite you in. He'll pick you up by the hand. He'll teach you the rules and he'll tell you the jokes. When you come to Jesus, he will not turn you away. And that goes for your kids too. We run Kids Holiday Club every year, not so that they can see pigeons. We run Kids Holiday Club every year because Jesus loves your kids. And it might be hard to believe, but Jesus will even welcome your kids when they're having a tantrum in the middle of Westfield, because Jesus loves them. And he loves us. And it's not just that he loves us and welcomes us, but because of that, he'll go to any length to find us. To find us. Take a look again. Grab this out if you've put it away. Verse 3. We want to look at verse 3. So Jesus told them this parable. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he does what? Until he finds it. And then the other story is just like it. Verse 8. Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until what? Until she finds it. Do you see the thing that the sheep and the coin have in common? They're both lost, just like the sinners, just like the tax collectors, just like us. But Jesus doesn't tell us this story to remind us that we're lost. We know that. He tells it to show us that he has come to find us. Look at verse 4. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? See, while the Pharisees stand back with folded arms, sending people away, Jesus goes out with open arms, finds people, and welcomes them in. And it's not that we did anything to be found either. Sheep get lost because they don't know their way around. And it's not that Jesus will invite the sheep who buy a map and sort themselves out. No, we don't clean ourselves up first. But he comes to us. And I point this out because sometimes we think that God is distant. God's out there doing his thing and he kind of gives us some rules, some ideas, some advice about how we might be able to find him. But that's not God. That's not God. Because while we were lost, Jesus came to find us. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Do you see how these stories are not about coins or sheep? They're about Jesus, how he came to find us. And so if you take anything away from today, make sure it's this. Jesus, God in flesh, has come to find you and bring you back into life with God. A life where we are in God's family, in his people, where we have eternal inclusion with God, not because of anything we've done, but because Jesus, who was never lost, who never sinned, died in our place so we could be welcomed in. And when we turn to Jesus, he does all the things we needed to do to be brought back in. He gives us the credit for those things so that we can go in. He gives us his resume of perfection. He gives us his clean driving record. He gives us those stacked muscles for the bro club. And best of all, he takes away the sin that got us lost in the first place. He takes away our sin. Because on the cross, Jesus lovingly took the pain of exclusion that we all deserve, so that you and I could be welcomed in. And so Jesus asks you today, will you accept the welcome? Will you accept Jesus' death on the cross in your place so that you can be welcomed into God's people? Because that desire that we all have to be where the people are is a desire that can only be fulfilled, not just fulfilled, but also sustained by knowing God. And that can only be found by being welcomed in by his son, the King Jesus. And that King calls you today with his hand stretched out, saying, you were lost. I have found you. Will you come home? And if you accept, you will be one of God's people, someone who enjoys life with God. Not just in heaven, not just in the future, but life with God now, because he loves you and ticked all those boxes for you and died for you on the cross. Most of us here have made that choice, and I'm pretty sure none of us regret it at all. But if you haven't, this isn't just an offer bundled up in some junk mail, currently sitting in your letterbox for a little bit too long, waiting to go in the recycling bin. No, this is the thing that we're all looking for in life. And so how do we accept this offer? Well, did you notice the way that he describes people being found after he finishes telling each story? Just look at verse 7. Take a look at verse 7 again. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And then take a look at what he says in verse 10. Verse 10, I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. The way we accept the invitation to be welcomed in by Jesus is repentance. And that's an odd word, isn't it? Repentance, we don't really use it much in society. Maybe it gets used to politicians when they do something a little bit wrong. But the sinners and tax collectors weren't just guilty of some additional spending in the budget. But do you remember what they were doing? Just take a look at verse 1 again. Verse 1. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. Not just check out his advice, but to accept his plan for their lives. And so they were turning back to God. They were putting their trust in Jesus. They were saying, Jesus, I trust you to bring me back to God. I trust you, Jesus, to save me from my sin. I trust you, Jesus, to be the one who gets me out of this mess. And I trust you, Jesus, to be the one who shows me the way I live now. And so will you be found? Jesus rejoices when people accept his welcome, and so do we. We love, as a church, helping people make decisions to be found by Jesus. And so why not do it today? Up on the screen, should come up in a second. There we go. It's a prayer I wrote the other day to do what Jesus is talking about, repentance. It's a prayer where we acknowledge that we are lost, that we're sinners, and that we deserve exclusion. But Jesus has found us and welcomed us in through his efforts and not our own. And it's a prayer where we ask Jesus to help us live his way as one of his people. Just read it over for a second. If you're looking for an eternal inclusion in God's people, why don't you pray with me in the quietness of your mind now? I'm going to pray this prayer. Why don't you join me? Let's pray. Dear God, you made me to be one of your people, but I have not lived your way. I have sinned against you. I deserve exclusion. But God, please include me in your people through what Jesus has done in my place. And help me to turn from my old ways to live as one of your people. Amen. Now, if you decided to accept Jesus' invitation then, that's so good. What this passage tells us is that angels in heaven are rejoicing because you have decided to follow Jesus. And people in this room, if they knew, would be so stoked. One of the things that we want to do is, if you've made that decision, is to help you continue to live for Jesus for the rest of your life. And the best way to help us help you is through this thing, the feedback slip. Phil mentioned it before. Make sure, if you prayed that prayer, and if you've never prayed that sort of prayer before, but you prayed it for the first time today, that you let us know. Fill out your details, give us your number or your email, and someone trusted at our church will get in touch with you. We're not going to throw your details to any randoms, because we would love to know that you've decided to be welcomed in by Jesus. But if you weren't ready to make that decision, and it's a big decision, I understand if you weren't ready yet. That's okay. As I said, though, this is an invitation not to just chuck out in the trash. It's an offer that we need to take seriously. And we as a church, we would love to help you on that journey. And so please make sure as well that you fill this in, and one of us will get in touch with you about how we can help you find out more about Jesus over the coming months.